Thomas says, well, he doesn't mean that. He means, what does God know primarily, right? See? Yeah. And it's only by knowing himself he knows anything else, right?
Yeah.
I see. And of course, Aristotle, you know, in other places, you know, there's two or three places, for example, where he criticizes Empedocles because in the position of Empedocles, we know something that God didn't know. That's ridiculous, Aristotle. You know? So, I mean, you know, so great a philosopher and so great a question should be, but, you know, contradicting himself, you know, ridiculous to, you know, Thomas doesn't even occur to him, Aristotle be so stupid, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And especially when he himself is so clear about the fact that there's something wrong with the position of Empedocles about how knowledge takes place if the consequence of his position is that we know something God doesn't know. We know hate, and God doesn't know hate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so... I see Thomas, not in that particular text, but in some other place, you know. But so great a philosopher and so great a matter should mean this. Doesn't make any sense, right? And the same thing, you know, I mean, it has part of that attitude towards what? You know, Augustine, right? And so great a theologian could mean this. But he does read Augustine very carefully, like he reads Aristotle very carefully. Okay, but the third objection is taken from the text in Isaiah. So I think Isaiah says, "I saw God," right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, on a throne, right? Mm-hmm. There's something to that effect.
Yeah.
Now, it should be said that in an imaginary vision, the very substance of God, the essence of God, is not seen,
mm-hmm.
but some form is what formed in imagination. Representing God according to some way of likeness, right? As in divine scriptures in the Bible, divine things are described metaphorically through what? Sensible things, right? So we say the Lord is a rock, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not the rock is taking on new meaning here now. But the meaning of the speaker is not that God is a rock, but to be something like a rock insofar as he gives support or firmness to things, right?
Mm-hmm.
One thing you notice about metaphors, that the same metaphor can be used for something good, for something bad, right? So if someone says, you've got a stony heart, that's not a compliment, huh? You say the Lord is a rock, right? Or what's this, Stonewall Jackson?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a stone wall or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That was a compliment, right? Huh? So to be like a stone, it can be taken in a good way and like a bad way, right?
Mm-hmm.
The devil is a what, lion going around seeking whom he may devour, right? And you have Aslan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the lion of the tribe of Judah, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the lion's cruelty, right? Maybe the likeness there in the case of the devil, right? But the lion's strength and courage, whatever it is more like the lion of the tribe of Judah,
mm-hmm.
the one who conquers. He's the king of the beasts, right? You know, it's not by chance that the English have, you know, the lion is a symbol of this, huh? You walk around Venice and you see all these lions there, huh?
Mm-hmm. Saint Mark.
Saint Mark, yeah. But you know, it also has a symbol, isn't there? The authority, huh? The kind of moral authority there. It's interesting how the different senses, nevertheless, are kind of metaphorically carried over, right? Taste and see how sweet is the Lord and so on, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And in the songs there, you know, running in the ointments of God and so on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Smell, or all these things instead of the virgin, you know. It's not by chance, you know, that said they open the grave of the saints and you get the, mm-hmm. the flower instead of the stench that come from our bodies. And you get this, you know, the kind of a sign of the good odor of these people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the ear and the eye are used a lot, of course, in Scripture. Mm-hmm. Hear God speaking. Not so much this way, right? Unless you're, you know, what's his name? David there? Who's that, the guy? The prophet? Nathan, was it? Nathan, before David.
Samuel.
Yeah, Samuel, yeah. Who heard at night, you know.
Eli.
That is coming usually here. But he's actually hearing his ears, right? It's not just, you know, it's not just imaginary. Okay, now the fourth article. To the fourth one proceeds thus. It seems that some created understanding, intellect is there, so the power, right, is able through its natural powers to see the divine, what, substance, right? As Thomas Lewin, take the other side, right? Contrary guy, right? For Dionysius says in the fourth chapter of the Divine Names that the angel is a pure, what?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Most, what, clear, right? Receiving the whole, if one could say so, beauty of God, right? Now, that's quite a creature, right? Oh, I think tomorrow they have the Raphael, Gabriel.
Your calendar.
Not yours,
huh? Yeah, St. Michael in November.
Yeah.
By himself. Yeah. We don't have Raphael on our calendar. I think we should correct that.
Mm-hmm.
That's another story.
Yeah, they had one feast there for the three of them. They call them saints there. He's the church book. Yeah. But each thing is seen when its, what, mirror is seen, right? Huh? It's image. Since, therefore, the angel, through his natural powers, understands himself, it seems that also through his, what, natural powers, he understands the divine essence. He sees God naturally much more clearly than we do,
mm-hmm.
because he sees himself, and he's a much more clear mirror of God, right? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
But still, he's going to be limited. Huh? Moreover, that which is most visible becomes less visible to us on account of the defect of our sight, either of our bodily sight or intellectual sight. So that's going back to what Aristotle said, right? That what's more knowable is less knowable to us, right? That's why we know things in a confused way before we know them distinctly, as he says in the beginning of the first book of Natural Hearing. And Aristotle says, as the eyes of the bat are to the light of day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is our reason, right, to the things which are most knowable. But the understanding of the angel does not undergo such defect, right? Since, therefore, God by himself is most knowable, right? It seems that he is most knowable by the angel. If therefore other things that are understandable through their what? Or if therefore he's able to understand other understandable things through his own natural powers, much more can he understand God, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the difference between us and the angels, is that the object of our understanding is something that's understandable only in ability. And we have to make it actually understandable. That's the act of understanding that does that. But the object of the angelic understanding is something that is what? Understandable in act. Therefore, it seems that he'd know most of all what is most understandable in act. And that's God. Moreover, bodily sense is not able to be raised up to understanding a bodiless substance, because it is above its nature. If therefore to see God by his essence was above the nature of any created understanding, It seems that no created understanding is able